Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? It's July 31st. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is going to be extremely Dolphins-focused. We're going to be discussing some notes from Brian Flores' press conference the other day. We were able to listen in over a Zoom meeting with him, and he kind of gave some interesting notes about how the players and the team's dealing with the coronavirus, some updates on Tua and Xavier Howard. So that will all be discussed in this episode. So the first thing we will begin with, before we even talk about, you know, what Brian Flores was saying, I want to say the general tone and his kind of demeanor through the whole thing. Of course, Brian Flores is a very powerful speaker. He is very careful with his words and a lot of emotion comes out. But I will say in this interview in particular, there was still a lot of uncertainty that you could kind of still tell in his tone and how he was speaking when it came to the coronavirus or when it came to discussing some of the guys' injuries. There was still a lot of unknown and mystery with some of the topics that he was trying to address. And the first thing that he said was that the Dolphins kind of set up in the locker room to deal with the coronavirus. They asked him, what are the certain things that you have the team has in place? He said that the team put plexiglass in between all the lockers. There's hand sanitizer everywhere, that everyone's practicing social distancing, but it has had a huge impact in how they go about doing stuff in the facility. So of course, that is a huge thing. Now, he was also asked that, will the team kind of take it upon themselves, or has there been any talks among people in the league of having an NBA style bubble? Because if you keep up with the NBA, they have a bubble over there in Orlando where they kind of send all the players and the team and the staff in there, but once they're in, they cannot get out. And that is their way of kind of controlling the coronavirus and not allowing it to be transmitted from any outsiders into that bubble. So they asked, will there be anything like that for the NFL? And he says, as of right now, that what they are doing is kind of putting it in the individual's hands. They said the players themselves, the coaches also included, need to be held accountable. They need to be responsible for their own actions out there. They need to be taking the virus seriously and following all the rules and everything they can to prevent the virus from spreading in order to, you know, help protect themselves and keep themselves healthy and also keep the team healthy. So what I got from that was, in other words, there is no plan right now for any NBA style bubble. They also asked him, is there any concern with what happened to the Marlins? If you keep up with baseball, a large percentage of their team actually contracted the coronavirus. And to that, he said that they are using that as kind of a learning experience. They're taking from it what they can. But he also said that there is still, again, no bubble in place or any special way to prevent it from happening. If we go back to what Dr. Fauci said, and I talked about this in an earlier episode, that there are a lot of people saying that football is a recipe for disaster in terms of how the coronavirus is going to spread. And I think the Marlins are a very good example of just how difficult this is going to be for the NFL. I think as we get closer to guys actually, you know, engaging in contact with one another. I mean, baseball is a sport where they are fairly separated. Now imagine football, where you have a ton of guys constantly engaging every single play in a bunch of contact with one another. That is going to be very difficult to prevent the spread of the coronavirus and kind of keep up with these social distancing rules that we have in place. So, you know, a bunch of question marks. Like I said, I talked about it in another episode. I do think this is going to be a very tough issue, because what's going to happen in an NFL season? I mean, baseball, you know, they can skip a good amount of games because the seasons are so long. But if you're playing football and you have to kind of put a good percentage of a team on a bye week potentially, or maybe even two weeks of a bye, what's that going to do for the rest of the league? How is that going to work? I mean, there are a ton of things that still need to be addressed, and you know, I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic about it, but again, as we get closer to a contact being made, I think we're going to start seeing these issues kind of arise more, and I'm very curious to see how the NFL is planning to tackle some of these big issues with the coronavirus. Now, we move on to more of the football element of what he was saying. And he said that Tua will be out there and he will be practicing. That is huge. He said that everything, you know, from an injury standpoint, he has the green light. He is good to go and he will be out there practicing. And an important note here that people might be, blowing up too much if you read it in quotes, was that he said that it is an open competition for a quarterback and that anybody could win the job and there is no given, starting spots on this team. That is what he said. And while I do believe that to some extent, he also acknowledged that some guys are going to be way further along and have more of an advantage. And I think that was kind of alluding to Ryan Fitzpatrick. So while he is saying that it is an open job, you could kind of tell from his tone and kind of his hesitation that while he would, you know, like to kind of instill this mentality in the players and definitely keep this mentality for other positions, the general kind of feeling I got from his response there was kind of that Ryan Fitzpatrick has such a huge advantage at the quarterback position as it stands right now that it would be a little bit shocking if Tua were to get the starting role. But who knows? I'm just saying that is the kind of general sentiment I got from when he was talking about it. Now, I brought up the uncertainty in his tone for a reason, and that's because when they asked him about Xavien Howard and when we could expect to see him returning, he said that, you know, he's been rehabbing all summer and that he heard it's been good, but he cannot put a timetable on his return. And that is not something that you want to hear on somebody who missed, you know, half the season last year, who had a surgery and he's had plenty of time to recover. The fact that he's saying there is still no timetable to return, Xavien Howard has battled these knee injuries for some time now. That is not a good thing to hear in terms of a defensive back that you are paying as one of the premier ones in the entire NFL. And then the Dolphins, you know, in the past draft, they just drafted Noah Igbinoghene at cornerback. I know a lot of people were thinking it as more of them adding him just to play the slot. But guys, I do think this could be indicative of Xavien Howard's future with the Dolphins. I've been saying this for some time. It looks pretty odd having two of the highest paid defensive backs in the league. I know, say what you will, that the Patriots paid Stephon Gilmore because they value the defensive back position. But at the same time, before they did that, their cornerstone defensive back was Malcolm Butler. The more I look at Xavien Howard, it seems like he could end up being the Dolphins' version of Malcolm Butler. If you look at what he did last season, it wasn't as impressive as his years prior. There was that game against the Dallas Cowboys where Amari Cooper just, you know, had a field day on him. Then he had the injury. Of course, that's not a plus. And then he had the off-the-field issues. All of these could kind of definitely combine to kind of leave a bad impression with Brian Flores. And that is kind of where my mind is going. That's not from any sort of reports or any sort of inside source. That is just kind of how I'm connecting the dots in my head as it stands right now. Because teams typically don't pay two cornerbacks to be the highest paid from in the entire NFL and have them both on their team and then go out in the following draft and draft a cornerback in the first round. There is something that is definitely not adding up here, and I'm already seeing it. So whether the Dolphins trade him, I mean, it will be difficult to do so, I think, for the Dolphins because he has, you know, such a big contract and he's battled the knee injuries and he's had the off-the-field issues recently that his value right now would be extremely low. But maybe they're aiming towards the future and recognizing that realistically they may have to end up cutting Xavien Howard in the future or trading him in the future. But those are just the way I am connecting the dots right now. And again, that is not a testament to, Xavien Howard being a bad player. I'm not saying that he's washed up. I do think last year he had some moments where he wasn't the elite cornerback and then he just unfortunately had a knee injury and I don't want to use that against him, but that is part of the business and I'm sure the Dolphins are weighing this and they're weighing the rest of the roster and how everything else is going to have to play out. Having two of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL and also drafting a rookie in the first round. To me, the way I'm looking at it, just something here is not adding up. So before we wrap up the episode, the last topic I want to discuss here pretty quick is the issue of players opting out of this season, of the 2020 season, due to them wanting to protect their health or protect the health of their family members. And I've seen, surprisingly, a lot of them get criticized and a lot of them get hate on Twitter for electing to opt out of the 2020 season and being called selfish somehow or unappreciative because they're turning away a $1 million deal while others don't have the opportunity to do so. Guys, there is something to me, and this is just a personal opinion, but I will never question the value one puts on their own health, and especially the health of their family members. Health is something that I think is way more fragile than people really care to acknowledge. And I do think that, you know, we have one opportunity on this life, we have one body to use this, and them electing to sit out a season and give up a ton of money because they want to protect themselves or their family members. I mean, I'm not going to criticize that. That is something that if they want to do that, who am I to say they shouldn't be doing that? And the same goes also to players who retire early. I've heard, you know, several guys say they want to retire early and protect their health, whether it's from, you know, CTE or other injuries that they've had throughout their whole career. You know, as much as I would love to see them on the field and be entertained and, you know, enjoy their talent and their success and what they're able to do, at the end of the day, they're a person. They represent way more than just a number on the back of a jersey. They represent way more than a roster spot. They're their own person. And I'm not going to want to selfishly put them in a position where they should be risking their health for my own entertainment. If they deem it too risky or whatever the case is, then I'm just going to completely respect their opinion on that. That is just my thoughts on that. So guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up the episode though. As always, if you could leave a review on the Apple Podcast app, that would be a huge help, or wherever you listen to the podcast, that would be awesome. If you could follow on Twitter, that is at Via The Source on Twitter. That would be a tremendous help. If you have a YouTube account, if you could subscribe to, guess what, Via The Source on YouTube, that would be also a tremendous help, guys. I'm very thankful. We're actually surprisingly nearing a huge milestone, and I'm very excited about it. It is the 10,000 total download mark. And, you know, it may not be something huge, but to me, if you told me that my podcast would have gotten this many downloads from when I first started it and I could barely even, you know, put coherent sentences together, I would tell you there is no chance. But to see how far it's come, all because of you guys, it really is miraculous. It's awesome. And I am always extremely grateful, because without you guys, I mean, I would just be some crazy guy ranting about the team he loves, you know? So I'm extremely grateful. Until next time though, guys, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.